Good morning. My name's Rosie. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's just a joy and it's a privilege just to come and share with you this morning. I get a bit emotional because today is really quite significant because we haven't done communion for a year and a half as a church family and been able to sing freely and worship God together. So forgive me. So I felt it was really important that we just did everything around the table this morning. So my talk's probably a little bit shorter so we can have a little bit more time for reflection and communion. So if you've got the Gospel of Matthew 26, just from what Heather read, we're going to be looking at that story this morning. So just as I was thinking and I was reflecting on communion and just God's love, and just when we look into this story, and I was just reminded of a story of a preacher. And he just loved working with the poorer people and had a great ministry in that area. And one day at 3 o'clock in the morning, he walked into this cafe and he met this, the guy behind the counter serving him. It was one of those, I don't know if you've ever been to like a grease spoon type place, you know, it's quite greasy. It's not everybody's cup of tea. But he just thought, no, I don't think I'm going to order anything off the menu. I think I'll be safe with a coffee and a donut. So that's what he went with, a coffee and a donut. And then he was just having a bit of chat with the guy. And then about 10 minutes later, the doors opened and in walked a whole bunch of women. In fact, there were women who'd been working on the street. And he was just sitting, minding his own business, and overheard this conversation between two women. And she was like, "Do you know, it's my birthday on Friday." And the woman's like, "Oh, right, really?" And there wasn't really much response. She was just saying, "Yeah, you know." She said, "Well, why are you telling me that?" You know, it's not like we as women get to enjoy birthday parties and all those sort of things. And there was just a little bit of sarcasm between these two women. And this preacher, this man, overheard this conversation and was really taken aback and thought, you know, that's just awful. That someone could respond in such a way that this woman was having a birthday. You know, something that all of us, every day in our lives, every year when we turn a certain age, we celebrate, we make a big deal of, but this woman had never experienced that. And he finished his coffee and donut, and then I think the women were in the cafe for probably like 40 minutes, and then they all disappeared again. And the preacher turned around to the guy in the cafe, the owner, and he's like, "Do you know what? Did you hear what they were talking about?" He's like, no, what were they talking about? And he said, "Oh, that woman there is her birthday on Friday. And yeah, I think we should do something." And he was like, "What?" He says, "They come in here every day, every night at 3 o'clock in the morning." He says, "Yeah, I think we should hold up a party, a birthday party for her." And he was like, "Yeah, we could do that, eh? You know, not that much is happening in the cafe at that time." He said, "Okay, Friday, 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll hold a wee party." And he went through and shouted through to the kitchen to his wife and said, "You know, do you fancy making a cake?" And she was like, "Yeah, sure." And actually, they got really excited about all of this. And she decided she was going to put a lot of effort into this cake. And this preacher went away and he got decorations. It was a few days later. And they came in an hour early. They set up the decorations and made everything. They knew this lady's name was Agnes. And the cafe owner's wife had made this cake. So they told everyone, spread the word. And then in walked probably a few more street women or prostitutes, if you want to call them that, in that night. If anyone hears about a party, they're going to be there. And this lady, Agnes, walked through the door. And she walked through the door that the early hours of that morning on Friday. And the preacher was just really excited because he just wanted to see her face and what it would be like. And he just said, "Happy birthday." And they all shouted, "Happy birthday." And then they sang, "Happy birthday." And the lady from the cafe brought the cake out. And the candles were on it, and they all shouted, "Hip, hip, hooray," and she blew out the candles. And then she went away to get a knife to cut the cake. And Agnes turned around and she said, please don't cut the cake. Don't cut the cake. I would really like to take the cake home." And they kind of all looked at her and thought, "All right, okay. If you don't want us to cut it, we won't cut it." And she went forwards and she picked up the cake, as beautiful as it was, and then she walked out the door. And I think the preacher was a little bit like, "Oh, what do I do now?" So he turned around, as good Christian people do, and says, "Do you know what? Why don't we just all pray? Let's pray for Agnes." And he said a prayer. He was really out there. And that was the end. And then everyone dispersed, and that was the end of the party. And the cafe owner turned around and said, "Whoa, you're a preacher. You're one of those God people." He said, "I didn't know that." And he says, what kind of church do you go to? Because a church that throws parties for prostitutes. He says, if I find one like that, I want to join that one. And I tell you this story because it was an expression. This party that this preacher had organized was an expression of God's love. His heart was broken when he heard this woman's story. And he just wanted to do something for her. He wanted to show love to her. He wanted her to experience the significance about turning, about life, about celebrating your birthday. Something that all of us kind of take for granted and something that she'd never experienced in her life before. And when I look at this chapter and this verse that we're going to look at this morning, just as we come round the communion table in Matthew 26, the woman with the alabaster jar. Brian talked last week from Luke 7 about the sinful woman that came to the feet of Jesus and put perfume over his feet. And there's three stories in the New Testament of women that came and sat at Jesus' feet and kind of ministered to him with perfume. And I believe there are three different stories. They're different. They're not the same. And this one in Matthew 26 is also found in Mark's gospel as well, in Mark 14. And these are the accounts of this three women anointing Jesus. But this particular one is the final of the three anointing stories. This woman that we hear about and we read about, we don't even know her name. We don't know her life story. We don't know what brought her to this moment. And we don't even know what drew her to Bethany or to approach Jesus, or what made her bring this costly bottle of perfume, or why she anointed his head with it. But even though her encounter with Jesus was really, really short, I believe that all of us can take something out of this, these little nine verses that talk about this encounter together. The story is set in the place in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, and he sets this place during the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's really important to know the backdrop. There's a lot of things happening in this chapter. We're at the end of Matthew's gospel here. The chief priests are scheming up a way to arrest Jesus and kill him. And in the verses just previous, the next few verses just after this encounter with this woman, Judas is going to betray Jesus. And then we find ourselves just thrust into the story of all the things that are happening leading up to the cross. I'll read it again. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, and he was reclining at the table, a woman with an alabaster jar of very costly and precious perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured out the perfume on his head. But there were some who were there, and they were just remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? What a waste. For this perfume might have been sold for more than a year's wages. And the money could be given to the poor. And they scolded her for what she was doing. And Jesus said, just leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with me. And you can help them anytime you want. But you're not always going to have me. She did what she could. And she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what this woman has done, this story is going to be told in memory of her. Who was this woman with the alabaster jar? We don't know very much about her. We don't know where she's come from. What do we know about the alabaster jar or box? We know when we look at a bit of history of alabaster boxes, they're made of rich marble type stone. It's a stone commonly found in Israel, and it's one of the precious stones that's used to decorate Solomon's temple. These alabaster jars would be filled with really, really expensive perfume, and that they'd be in this jar or box just to keep it pure, and then it would be sealed with wax to retain the scent and thereafter. So if you were going to open the box or the jar, you would have to break it. And it's not like things you get today where you just put a wee lid on it and you can take the lid on, you can take the lid off. Once it was broken, that was it. You know, the aroma, the smell of the perfume inside would be out. There was no going back. this woman came to Jesus with one of her most valuable possessions. This costly perfume was tucked into this jar. Once it was broken, there was no going back. It would all be laid bare. There'd be no stopping or backing up. This was her all. This was her single devotion, her love, her sacrifice. She was bringing this to Jesus, this expensive perfume. In some respects, it'd be like the equivalent to diamonds in our culture. By breaking this bottle, this woman was honoring Jesus by anointing him with oil, with this perfume, something that was just so important to her. And in some respects, when you read the story, it's like it's an act of worship. Traditionally, when you just put oil over someone's head, it was to sanctify, to set the anointed person apart as holy. It was a symbol of honor. If one was anointed, they were chosen by God. And maybe that's what she saw. She saw who Jesus was. He was this person. And yet this sacrifice, this act that she did, people round about her were just like, what are you doing? What a waste. But she didn't think that. I wonder if she really, really knew what they were all thinking. But do you know what? She didn't care. She was caught up in this act, this love, this sacrifice, this devotion. And maybe to her, he was her savior. I wish we knew the thoughts. We can only but guess as she approached the door what it would be like just to come and just to sit at Jesus' feet. As she entered the room and there was Jesus, she didn't really bother what else was going on. But to her, this was important. Maybe she was used up, the sweet smell covering the jar's broken neck. It covered the brokenness of her heart. But the breaking of that jar was she was coming face to face with her hurt. Maybe the broken, cracked places. Or perhaps it was like Anna, a religious woman. She was just drawn to Jesus by the Spirit, to this place, just to anoint her king for worship. Maybe she'd encountered Jesus already as part of his ministry. Maybe she'd felt forgiven. Maybe she'd felt cleansed. Lots of maybes and just so many unknowns of what brought her to that place. But one of the amazing things that we can come to the table this morning, we can learn what this encounter, we can learn the woman with this alabaster jar reminds us that we're only serving one person, one God. It doesn't matter what the world says. When I think of this preacher just throwing this birthday party for all these prostitutes and just not even caring what anybody thinks. But if it makes a difference in the life of someone and it's an opportunity to show the love of God, he was up for it. Do you know, maybe what we can learn from this encounter is just the importance of worship. To just come into encounter Jesus, to come into his presence. God values our offering in the grand scheme. A bottle of perfume is small, but to her it was costly, and it was her heart that was in the right place. This woman wasn't concerned what others. She was so focused on her king and wanted to worship him and honor him. Anointing Jesus' head with this perfume, with the alabaster jar, was a testament to her love for him. It's a wonderful reminder of how our love for Christ should look at, and maybe a challenge to all of us. The story holds a picture of what the heart of worship looks like. It's not a show. It doesn't matter who's looking. It's just like me and God. It's not bright lights, it's not loud music, or trying to impress, but a heart that fully seeks to honor God. I've been really taken aback over this summer of just losing two friends, two young friends. The first one was my friend Paul, who was 37 years old. He was married with two young children, 1 and 5. And I was able to go to the memorial service. I had to watch it online because I was on holiday, but I actually felt I was there. And I've never been so inspired and so just like, wow, I just want to worship God. Paul was a worshiper. And there was testimony after testimony after testimony of Paul's life and how he worshiped God. And how the 37 years that he had on this earth just glorified God. And I just remember just being so taken aback by, wow, what a ministry. What a difference this man has made in so many people's lives. I want to be like that. His wife posted up on Facebook, we prayed for healing, we prayed for healing. And sometimes we just, it's one of the biggest questions we have when we get to heaven. Why isn't everybody healed? And his wife posted up on Facebook, now Paul is with his heavenly Father and he's healed and whole. The next week, I had to come to terms with the fact of another friend. They both died at similar times. My friend Jenny, who was 37, again married with three children under the age of 10. Both were battling cancer. And she did something that I've never known happened before. She wrote her own tribute. And she wanted it read out because she knew she only had a couple of months to live left. And when I read her tribute, I was just really taken aback. And she said, I want to read it to you, not to make you cry, but to make you realize that what we have is so precious. The time that we have is so important. And she said, in her words, over this past while, there's been a wall of prayer around me, and I'm truly grateful for this. I felt God's arms around me, his peace and strength through this journey. I thank you all who are standing here today. Friends and family, today is a stark reminder that life is short. At the snap of a finger, it can change, and I'm truly grateful that I had that short amount of time to plan, enabling me to set things up for my children and to write some letters. She says, I really encourage you all, take each day as if it was your last. Just choose your battles in life. If your child yet again spills their drink all over the table, does it really matter? If your husband yet again leaves the toilet lid up, can you not just let it go? How many photos do you have of your family and your friends with you in them together? What memories can you build in this coming year? And that whole just reality of, what is this life about? And I challenge us all today. I want us to come to this table and just look and think, if today was our last day, how would we live it? Are we in that relationship with God? Can we come like that woman and just not care about anybody else and just worship our King? And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. We've deliberately created a little bit more time so that we can have reflection time around the table. And I want to give every single one of us the space to be able to come and bring your offering to the table, whatever that looks like. You could be bringing your worship. You could be bringing your brokenness. But this is an opportunity for you to just come and have that reflection in that space. I'm going to ask Helen to come up and to pray for the bread and the wine.